Teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart.
Turn,
O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands.
Prosper the work of our hands, O God, as we extend them to one another. Prosper them that they might share hope and peace and joy and love. Friends, the peace of Christ be with you. Now share it with one another. When you have shared enough peace and given away enough love, you may be seated. Brothers and sisters, on this sparkling fall morning, I say to you, good morning. In the name of Jesus Christ and through his Spirit, I bid you welcome to the First Congregational Church. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. You are welcome here if you are single, married, partnered, divorced, or widowed, for here we will partner with you. You are welcome if you are a parent or a child of one, for here we will be family to you. You are welcome here if you know exactly what you believe, or if you have no idea in what to believe. For here, we will share our faith with you. You are welcome if you are from here or if you have traveled from afar, for our God is here and everywhere. You are welcome if you are a saint or a sinner, for God knows we are all a bit of both. You are welcome here just as you are, because you are a beloved child of God, made in God's very own image. And here, the Spirit will meet you, feed you, console you, and if you let it, even transform you. Welcome to worship on this beautiful fall day. I would like to draw your attention to the green sheet in your bulletin. We put it there not just to add a touch of color, but rather that you might see it and notice it and read it and even take it home with you. If anyone has an announcement to make based on the life of our community, I invite you to come forward. The microphone is hidden behind that pillar. Kathy, would you bring it out so people can use it? As they come forward, if you happen to be a guest or visitor this morning, I invite you to fill out the pew card that's in each and every pew. If you fill it out, we will reach back out to you later this week with another greeting. Vicki.
I'm Vicki Cooper, and I'm a member of the Green Team here at the church. That's what this announcement is about. Betsy McKiernan has donated some earth-friendly products for us to try out. So if you go into the bathroom, you'll find earth-friendly toilet paper and soap. And in the kitchen, we have paper towels and napkins and soap products and cleaning products that are earth-friendly that we're trying out. And we'd like your feedback on how you like these products so we can know whether to go forward and use them in the future. So please let me know, or anyone on the Green Team, Betsy, or Karen Lindstrom, or Who else is on the green team here? Donna Jacobs and Terry Wise and anybody else? Well, anyway, let us know. Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Casey Jones, and I'm part of the Mission and Action Committee, and I'm up here to talk about the Construct Walk again. It's the 27th annual walk, and it's next Sunday. So based on a few questions that I've had, I just want to let you know that we would love for anybody that would like to walk to please walk, and just know that there are no recommendations. You don't have to collect any donations. You don't have to pay an entrance fee. Just walk with us. And if you're scared by the fact that it's about 4 miles, don't worry, because they have shuttles that go back and forth, and they can take you from wherever to the finish line where you get to celebrate. So we'd love to have you walk. Hopefully it will be great weather. And then other than that, you can take a sheet with you if you want to collect some donations from neighbors. I know I feel like we're always asking for all of you to make donations, but what you need to know is that the Mission Action Committee will match up to the first $1,000 that we get donated. And so far we are up to 560, thanks to all your generous donations. And if you don't want to give cash or a check, you can also take one of these sheets that Noah, my four-year-old, helped me cut out, and it has a little link where you can do it by credit card. Okay, so hopefully that's nice and easy, and thank you so much. Come and see me during coffee hour.
Hi, I'm Kathy Shane Leiden, and I'm the Minister of Music, and I am also really pleased to have both posters and postcards regarding our upcoming Music on Main concert. It's going to be especially interesting because we have an international organ recitalist who's going to be here. He's flying in from Germany. We are part of his East tour, and it's his last U.S. tour before he retires, and it should be really, really exciting for us to have somebody of his caliber here. And it also, I would really like to have a lot of people. I don't want to be embarrassed by like having 30 people in the audience. So if you could, please take a poster if you'd like. Take postcards. Give them to people who you think might be interested. We want to invite everybody we possibly can to be here. It's a really reasonable entrance, and it's only a suggested donation. So just show up, and I hope you are able to make it. It is October 25th at 4 p.m. right here in the sanctuary.
One final update, I would invite you to take a look at the backside of your insert. This past week, we had an absolutely phenomenal, heartwarming gathering to respond to the European migrant crisis. There were people here from many different houses of faith. There were people here from many different communities. And this is a group that I think has the potential to do some good things. There is still a chance for you to get involved. We broke into four task forces. You can read about it in here. If you're interested in being involved in this process, there are sign-up sheets in the Jonathan Edwards room. Friends, there never has been, nor will there ever be, another moment quite like this one. It was made for the worship of God. So let's get to it. Let me invite all of the children who are here to come up and join me on this side today. Come on over, have a seat. Good to see so many smiling faces this morning. Come make room for everybody. How are you this morning? I'm glad to hear that. So do you know what I want to talk to you this morning about something really fun. This morning I want to talk to you about the dentist. I do. I really do. I really do. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you enjoy going to the dentist, because we have our very own dentist, Dr. Casey, right here. So I'm not going to ask you if you like it. But what I am going to ask you is, what happens when you go to the dentist?
You get your teeth kind of brushed, and sometimes they're preparing you for braces or something.
Okay. So you get your teeth cleaned, or they prepare you for something else. What else happens? Yeah.
They clean your teeth.
They clean your teeth? Yeah.
They brush your teeth, and they give you a new toothpaste and a new toothbrush.
You even get presents, right? You get a new toothpaste and new toothbrush. Yeah.
Giving water.
They give you water. Anything else that happens? Yeah.
They give you teeth x-rays.
They do. Sometimes they take a picture of your teeth to see which ones are healthy and which ones are not, right? Okay, one more. Okay, well, you can hold on to that thought and tell me later. So here's a question. Why do they do all those things? Why do we go to the dentist? Why do they do all those things? Yeah.
To keep your teeth healthy.
To keep your teeth healthy. Yeah. Irving, did you have something else? Or was that it? That was it. Okay, yeah.
They put sunglasses on you.
Well, they do. They do so you don't get your eyes hurt. But so you go to the dentist to keep your teeth healthy. Yeah, why else?
And they...
They do that often. They do. So why is it good to have healthy teeth? Why is it good to have healthy teeth? Yeah, Irving. So you don't have cavities, okay. Why else?
So that your teeth don't fall out.
So they don't fall out. So that, yep.
So they don't hurt.
So you don't get sick.
So you don't get sick, yep.
To keep your body healthy.
To keep your body healthy. So we go to the dentist for all those reasons. And you know what? It also makes your teeth look better, and it helps you to use your teeth for something we all like to do, which is eating, right? So here's the thing. Do you know that we just sent this piano to the dentist? We did. This piano is over 100 years old. It is over 100 years old, and we thought it was time it went to the dentist. So we brought somebody in who took x-rays. He looked inside of it to see what was healthy and what was not. He took it all apart and cleaned it and brushed it and made it pretty. He even gave us gifts of a humidifier to keep it in better shape and a cover to make sure that it works. We sent this piano to the dentist because we wanted it to be able to do what it does. And that is this. This piano we use to help us worship God. This piano we use to help us sing and help us to make a joyful noise. And in the end, it is all about praising God and worshiping God. And so we did, in fact, send out this piano to the dentist so it could do all the things that dentists do. And hopefully this piano, it may just last us another 100 years. Wouldn't that be great? All right. So here's the thing. We sent out the piano to get cleaned and ready for today. And now so we can use it in church, we need to bless it and rededicate it for its purpose. So I'd invite the congregation to take out your rededication and blessing of the piano. For our guests and visitors, you need to know that music is in our very DNA. We love music in this place as a way of worshiping God and catching a glimpse of beauty and grace. So please join us in this rededication and blessing.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
O Most High.
To declare your steadfast love in the morning.
And your faithfulness by night.
Give thanks with the music of the lute and the harp.
Sing praises with the melody of the lyre.
For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work.
At the works of your hands, I sing for joy.
Eternal, caring God, creator of all, we give you thanks.
Your love, O Lord, is everlasting.
For the freedom we enjoy to worship you in beauty and grace.
With joyful hearts, we thank you, O Lord.
We give thanks for those who have gone before, those who shared their gifts freely to build up this church. We give thanks for the gift of music and for those who have equipped this church with beautiful instruments, organ, bells, and piano, that we might give thanks and sing your praise.
With joyful hearts, we thank you, O Lord, for those who walk among us and continue to build up this church. We give you thanks for those who have contributed time, talent, and treasure to the restoration of this magnificent piano. May it be used for the glory of your holy name.
And now let us all pray a prayer of blessing. God bless this piano as we rededicate it to your service. Bless it that it might make a joyful noise
support our worship, and even help us catch a glimpse of you. Amen and amen.
So now that this piano has been blessed and hopefully will be with us for another 100 years, we want to ask Bronwyn to play some music, to bring that piano alive and give us a taste of what it will sound like. A prayer. I can hold both your hands. How about that?
Do you want to come up here?
Come on in. God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for music and pianos. We give you thanks for this people, for this church and her people. God bless us on this day and every day. Amen. All right, you can head off to Sunday school.
Our reading this morning comes from the 22nd Psalm, verses 1 through 15. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night and find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth. And since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death.
Will you pray with me? Lord of light and life, oil the hinges of our hearts' doors, that they might swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. Director Tim Burton reflected, "Certain things leave you in your life, and certain things stay with you." He mused that that is why we are all fascinated by movies. The ones that make you feel, they stay with you. The ones that elicit an emotional response, they become part of you. I couldn't agree more. I love movies. I love the way they sweep us away from our daily life, the way they give us something to talk about and characters to wonder about. And I will confess that when it comes to movies, I am a complete sap. I am. I love a story with a happy ending, where despite all the odds, love and hope win. Movies like The Color Purple, where despite all of the roadblocks placed before them, there at the end, Celie runs haltingly but stubbornly toward a reunion with Nettie, her long-lost sister, arms out, squealing in delight. That stays with you. Or the movie Love Actually, when the awkward British writer and the shy Portuguese waitress learn each other's languages in the unlikely dream that they will somehow, someday, be together. That sticks with you. Or even in an epic like The Lord of the Rings, where that one ring finally slips beneath the lava and Frodo and Sam lay exhausted on a rock cropping, having overcome impossible odds. That becomes a part of you. Scenes where people overcome all of the obstacles and mess of the world, and in doing so find meaning and hope. Those scenes, they hit me right here, and they stay with me. Over time, I actually think that our DVD player has worn grooves into the discs of some of my favorite movies because I watch those scenes over and over and over again. Sometimes, and especially on tough days, I blow right past the slower or more difficult scenes to get to those moments of truth or happy endings that I know are coming. Unfortunately, I think the same thing often happens when we read the Bible. When we get to Psalms like this one, the 22nd, with its unnerving imagery of forsakenness, with our hearts of wax and bones all out of joint, it is so tempting to fast forward. It is so tempting to turn the page to the 23rd Psalm that we know is coming next. The 23rd Psalm is one that we all know by heart. We know it so well that it has been written on the grooves of our hearts. I bet that if I started the first verse of that psalm, you would be able to finish that verse, and I hope you will do so out loud and right now. The Lord is my shepherd. Absolutely. Amen. Those words, they get you right here. They stay with you. They become a part of you. And even though we may not say the rest of that psalm, we know that God, as our shepherd, will lead us to green pastures, to cool waters, to tables spread before us, and to cups that are overflowing. These words have been companion for many who have faced challenging times. They are full of good, truth, and deep blessing. But to rush right to that 23rd Psalm without experiencing the reality of the 22nd would be like watching Celie and Nettie hug without having any idea what they've been through. It would be like seeing that Portuguese waitress and that British writer express their love in each other's language without knowing why it matters, or failing to grasp why a couple of hobbits defeating the Lord Sauron is such a big deal. But even more importantly, I think it would be to miss the good news that is found right here in the 22nd Psalm, words that I believe have to be worn onto the grooves of our heart, words that need to stay with us. But how do we find good news here? Amidst the pain of abandonment, amidst hearts turned to wax and bodies poured out like water, where is the good news in the midst of all of that? The good news is that in all of its rawness and difficulty, this psalm is utterly true and utterly real. It is trustworthy companionship, especially on the toughest days we face. Walter Brueggemann, scholar and man of faith, writes that this psalm is among the most important writings in all of the Bible. It is a passage never to skip over and always to settle into. To be fair, this psalm is not for people who have it all together. This psalm is not for people whose life is in perfect equilibrium, or for those people who are totally self-reliant. But friends, our faith has never bought into those notions. If we are honest, we will confess that we never have it all together, that life is rarely in equilibrium, and our very covenant as a church proclaims that we cannot go it alone. The good news of this 22nd Psalm is that our faith is not about being self-sufficient or perfect. It is instead about being real, about reaching out, not giving up. Our faith, it is grounded in relationship. Our triune God is the perfect model of relationship. The Bible is the story of relationship between us and God and with us and one another. And we all know that if relationships are really going to work, they cannot be built on pretenses or feigned perfection. They simply cannot. Being in a relationship means being real, showing up and sharing the wholeness of our lives, including those tough spots, rather than fast-forwarding or skipping over them. It means connecting to, not denying, the complexity of our human reality, naming both our joys and sorrows whenever we connect to God in prayer. And make no mistake about it, this 22nd Psalm, it is a beautiful prayer. Oh, it may not look like what you say when you go to bed at night, but trust me, it is a prayer, and it is a great one. Philip and Carol Zaleski wrote of prayer that prayer is the story of the impossible, of how we creatures of flesh and blood lay siege to heaven, speak to the maker of all things, and await with confidence, or at least hopeful skepticism, a response. In other words, prayer is how we get real with God. In this church, I know we take prayer seriously. We lift up our joys and concerns for those we love and for the whole world around us. And yet, I wonder sometimes if we can as easily or forcefully or honestly do the same about our own pains and troubles, the deep and dark places of our lives. And if not before everyone in this room, what about before God in the privacy of your own bedroom? Have you ever tried to pray when you are truly poured out, when your whole life seems out of joint, only to get stuck wondering, how do I even get started? Have you ever wanted to fast forward past your own troubles and pray for somebody else? I know I have. But this 22nd Psalm, this prayer, shows us exactly how to start. My God, my God. God is addressed in a myriad of ways in the Bible, But the level of both intimacy and trust expressed here is exceedingly rare in Scripture. This prayer is not someone giving up or giving in. It is somebody reaching out and reaching up in the confidence of finding a hand to grab onto. My God, my God. We would do well, you and I, to bring this level of conviction to our prayers and to our relationship with God. It is a great way to start any prayer. Try it tonight. And then keep going, just like the psalmist did. Get real, even if it's less than pretty. Having claimed relationship, the psalmist can name his anger. Why have you forsaken me? He yells. He can also name his doubts and insecurity. I am a worm, he cries. But, when those doubts threaten to overwhelm him, he reaches back to the stories of those who have gone before, to people whose lives were inspiring, yet who faced their own share of adversity and trial, stories that had woven a groove into his heart. In you, our ancestors trusted, he recalls. To you they cried out and were saved. He remembers the great leaders like Abraham. He sees Miriam dancing and singing as the people leave slavery in Egypt. Amidst his loneliness, he hears Ruth's promise to Naomi and remembers how God was there in the middle of all of it. What stories of faith speak to you? But in this passage, it isn't just about those stories. It is about his story, too. Did you hear? He said, God, you have taken me from the womb, and you have kept me safe. You have drawn near me whenever I have been in trouble. What memories of God's loving care do you recall? And it is because of this fusion of the great story and his own story that this psalmist refuses to give in to despair. Instead, he lays siege in this prayer to heaven itself. He holds out his hand, confidently expecting God to respond. This is an excellent model for prayer in any circumstance, especially in the deepest and darkest moments of life. Do the words to this psalm, the beginning of this psalm, sound familiar to you? They should be as familiar as the Lord is my shepherd. They should be your trusted companion worn onto the grooves of your heart, because they show up again in the Bible on the lips of Jesus. And they were uttered in deep prayer. Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? It was in a moment where Jesus was as alone as you could be. He yelled those words from the cross. His disciples, they were scattered and hiding. He had been beaten and stripped naked before a jeering crowd. His bones, they were literally out of joint. His heart was melting, not just because of his own pain, but because of all of ours. Jesus cried out those words, laying siege to heaven. And there on the cross, Jesus awaited a response in confidence, if not at least hopeful skepticism. Friends, when we get real about our struggles, when we lay siege to heaven and reach out our hand, we can know from the bottom of our heart that God is reaching back, because God knows what it is like to be surrounded by enemies, poured out like water and lying in the dust of death, because God was there on the cross and took it all in. Jesus' story did not end on the cross, and nor will ours. This psalm, in fact, doesn't end in verse 15. It goes all the way to verse 31, where it, like the cross, ends not in death, but in life and salvation. It ends with all of this agony, all of this doubt, cradled in God's loving arms until the mess of this world is resolved in hope and meaning. If you haven't read it, take it out tonight before you pray. There is good news here. Friends, if we are to thrive as a church, if we are going to come anywhere near God's lofty dream for us, we need to bring the kind of realness of this psalm into our lives with God and with one another. We need to be able to share our own pains and needs with each other. We need to hear each other's anguish, even if we give up the illusions of self-control and perfection, because we are called to be in relationship. And relationships, if they're going to work, they cannot be built on pretenses. They simply cannot. Instead, they must be built on honesty and reality, including the parts of our shared life that are not as polished as we would like them to be. I'm going to ask you one more question, and I'd like you to respond honestly with a show of hands. How many of you have ever suffered through a time of pain or loneliness, a time where you felt your life to be out of joint, and you kept it to yourself rather than sharing it with someone you love or maybe even God? Me too. But this psalm reminds us that that is not how God calls us to live. We are called to be connected and to be real before our God who loves us and before one another, even if it means crying out in public where everyone can hear. On those days when you need a great story, when you need something that will stay with you, something that will become a very part of you, on a day when you need to lift up your spirits and give you hope in the face of impossible odds, I hope that you'll open your Bible. And I hope that you will find your way to the 23rd Psalm with the green grass, the calm waters, and the table spread out. I do. It is a great story. But I hope and pray before you read that story, you turn one page back and you settle here into the 22nd. For there are words that need to be worn onto the very grooves of your heart. There you will find companionship in your deepest troubles. There is the truth that we serve a God who knows our pain and never leaves our side, even though it might feel that way. Friends, we are never alone. God has been and still is right beside us, extending hand and heart, waiting to bring new life, new hope, and new meaning to even the most impossible of situations. That is the good news that needs to be worn gently and firmly into the very depths of our heart and the core of our being. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And now we come to the time in worship where we lay our lives open before our God. Here in this church, we have a tradition of naming our joys and our concerns out loud, that we might pray them for them both in this space and in all the days to come. And so once again, this morning, friends, I ask you, what are your joys? What are your concerns? We give thanks for the blooming of autumn in our midst and all of its joy here in the Berkshires. Mary Lou. We lift up the joy of the life that you shared with Martha Ann, the burden and pain you still carry, and we wish you a happy birthday on this coming day. We lift up your friend Kim, who has recently had part of her right leg amputated, and pray for peace and wholeness. We lift up your niece Emma, who is recovering from knee surgery. Jill and Steve, do you have any prayers for this week? I'm putting them on the spot because we are lifting up them in both our joys and our concerns. They are about to commit themselves to one another in marriage this coming Saturday. We wish you all the blessings and peace and joy and love that come with such a beautiful thing. God bless you. Ashley. We lift up the joy of the fact that you are using your gifts and your training as a blessing to others and that they are being well received. Joyce. We lift up Helen Pickett, who has made the decision to not have any future treatments for her cancer. Glenn. We lift up blessings for the marriage and that they might enjoy a beautiful honeymoon in France, even as we remember the reality of life, and lift up Richard Voorhees and all who mourn his loss. Don. We lift up joy that you're back among us. We lift up joy that the pastor of the church you were serving has healed. And we lift up joy that your daughter has returned after 8 years of ministry in Korea. Any other joys and concerns? Yes. We give thanks for the birth of Cecilia Rose and the fact that mom and baby are doing well. For your nephew Joseph as he goes through personal trials and bringing him back into church life. Yes, Morgan. We lift up your violin teacher, Miss Cindy, as she deals with brain cancer. Kathy.
Joan is probably feeling a mix of relief.
We give thanks for the life of Henry Zukowski. We offer prayers for Joan and for all of Lee who are mourning his loss. Friends, let us take a moment to let all of those joys and concerns into our hearts and onto our minds. Loving God, we lift up all of these things and so much more, those prayers that have been left unsaid but remain on our hearts. We lift them up to you, singing together the words that Jesus taught us to pray, singing with one voice. God bless these gifts and all who have gathered here, that they and we might go forth from this place to extend your blessings of mercy, grace, and love. And let the whole church say, Amen. Friends, the worship of God within these walls is drawing to a close that we might worship God anew beyond them. Before you go out into this beautiful day, come through those doors. Enjoy some food and fellowship. Enjoy the chance to extend our hearts and hands to one another for a little bit longer. And now, I invite you to sing our closing hymn, and sing it like you mean it. Friends, as you go, may you love God so much you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God just enough that you truly need fear nothing else at all. And maybe may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all human understandings, keep your hearts and minds together as one until we meet again. And let the whole church say, Amen.